Why so serious?
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game, and still getting trying to play you.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah! Welcome to the toy department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah.
Are you ready, Matt Kolsky?
Born ready, son.
It's time for another toy department. I like getting the intros out of the way early this time. That was good.
All right. You just wham, bam.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to, go no foreplay. Just jump right in.
Sometimes you got to hit it and quit it. I think the Parliament said that.
Maybe Little Brother said that. We're going to talk about that record in a little bit, along with the new Sleater Kinney, but...
Quick point of clarification.
Yeah.
Sleater Kinney?
I've always said Sleater Kinney.
Sleater.
But okay. I'm not like, I wouldn't be 1,000% sure on that. So.
Gotcha. Okay.
Let's see what the Google says.
You're going to check Google for pronunciation of Sleater Kinney?
Yes, I am.
I'm going to be stuck in between now forever because you said Sleater and I've been saying Slater. So it's going to be like Sleater Kinney.
Let's see. This is a message board that says, I've heard people say either and either is fine, but the road is pronounced Slater. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Well,
seems to be up for debate.
Thanks for nothing, internet.
All right. Sleater Kinney, whatever. I interviewed them once. It was probably a really a wasted
good
moment
opportunity to find out how it was pronounced.
Oh well.
Whoops.
Should we talk about that record now that we're here, or do you want to jump into Chappelle?
Made. What? Yes, sure.
Okay. We talked about this, I think, a little bit last week when I was when we were doing sort of the homework assignment. A lot of trepidation sort of coming into this record just based on the backstory. St. Vincent produced the record, which is awesome. But then they dropped this single that was very different and kind of St. Vincent-y. It's the second track on the record, Hurry On Home. And then Janet Weiss, who is like one of the great drummers of indie rock and, founding member of the band, like up and quit saying we're going in different directions. So, those are a lot of like red flags coming into a record, right?
I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah. So I was pretty nervous about this, but I feel like listening to the album in full ultimately calmed my nerves. I didn't think there were like, 10 oddly fitting Hurry On Home sort of pieces. To me, it sounds mostly like a Sleater or Sleater Kinney record.
One of the two, for sure.
Yeah, though. Definitely one of the two. And I also feel like in the context of the entire record, I can't say that I love Hurry On Home, but it feels a lot better sort of set in the entire record, I feel like.
Fair enough. I definitely don't care strongly one way or the other about that song. I think I also don't care strongly one way or the other about this record.
Mm, that's fair.
It's perfectly good. Which is maybe damning with faint praise. I was unmoved. I have to say I don't understand why someone would say have a strong take on this record, such as I can't be part of this band anymore.
Well, yeah.
Did you wonder? Because I found myself wondering, like, inoffensive is for sure a word I would use for this record.
Which is not, I would say that's definitely not a word typically associated with this band. The history of this band is a band that sort of engenders strong reactions one way or the other, right?
I guess that's what I'm saying. Maybe that makes this album a little weird for me. But I'm not a huge Sleater or Slater Kinney fan, so maybe that's fine. But I do feel like when I've listened to their stuff in the past, not a single song title of which I can remember, I've been more jarred, maybe more something.
Yeah, I would, you know, not that I'm trying to give you extra homework, but like, my favorite record of theirs, was their 2005 album, The Woods. I don't necessarily know that for a lot of like people that is, you know, classic era. You might get earlier ones from them, like Dig Me Out or, you know, but for me, that's my jam. So I would recommend you check that out. And, there are a couple of really great songs on that record, including Modern Girl, which I guess at this point is probably their most listened to song.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm not opposed to Slater Kinney, but yeah, unmoved is probably the best way to describe my reaction to this album in particular.
Yeah, fair enough. When, you know, like I said in the beginning, when Hurry On Home was all we'd heard and Janet quit the band, it made some sense to me because that song has a lot less of her than a typical SK, we'll just say SK song does.
Uh-huh.
You know, I sort of got it, but, you know, the rest of this record seems like there's plenty of drums, and the drums kick ass, you know?
Yeah. Yes. This record does rock.
Yeah. And they tend to, like, that's sort of their MO. Like,
well, but I think that's sort of where my, if you want to call it criticism, is coming from, is like, it rocks, but it doesn't feel vital somehow.
Yeah. You know, it's weird. It's because the record's called The Center Won't Hold. And I really like, that's the first song.
It's not a bad description of my review, actually. Yeah.
And you know, the first song that is sent The Center Won't Hold. And I feel like that really has a sort of classic, SK urgency, if you will.
Yes. I would agree with that.
Yeah. And then, but I think you're right. Like a lot of the rest of the record sort of does live in the center, you know?
Yeah.
Which is weird, right? I don't know.
I would agree that it is weird.
So, but I don't know. I also feel like, I don't know how many times you listen to it. I think I got to three. I do feel like this is a record that may reveal itself a little bit more with repeated listens.
Yeah, could be.
All right. Well, while we're in the world of music, what do you think of Little Brother?
I mean, I love this album. I told you this last week.
Yeah.
But I just don't think there's a lot of really great, both tremendous melodic interesting production with just hot bars, for lack of a better description. They're so clever, they're so smart, and I love them. I love Little Brother.
How old are these dudes?
They're getting up there. So I if I remember correctly, you had also not heard of Ninth Wonder?
No, correct. Yeah, I knew. I had zero info on this band at all, or you know, group, I guess would be the better word, at all.
So Ninth Wonder was the producer and has become a really big producer. Has produced some. I mean, let's see.
I've heard his name for sure.
Yeah, like you've heard his production 100% for sure. Let's see here. But anyway. More importantly, he left the group, and that concerned me slightly, but I don't think they've really missed much from a production standpoint.
Yeah, the production's on point.
And again, I think they're smart and funny, and I really love it.
I asked how old they were, because I do think
they're in their mid-40s.
For a hip-hop record, yeah, like this this record
up.
Has a really good handle on what it's like to be middle-aged.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it's about life, you know? And again, there's just not a lot of guys doing thoughtful hip-hop about life over just really tremendous, beautiful production.
Yeah, and I have to say, you know, I'm very much on the corner of don't put skits on your record, but I really like the skits on this record.
Yeah, and if you listen to the Minstrel Show, it'll all come together even better because the whole UBN concept goes back to that album. And I mean, the Minstrel Show, which, you know, was 15 years ago or something like that, is less about life, more like a thoughtful meditation on race relations, and it's also phenomenal. Like, that, these guys really are great and should get more attention.
I'm going to figure out a way to repurpose God Bless This Nation in this station. For my own. Niggas Hollering, the UBN Hilarious. First Take show is...
Oh, my God.
Fantastic. And that, you know, I know it's a skit, and it's, you know, so maybe it's a weird example to use for in terms of just sort of how they get life, but it really, like, actually had me thinking for a minute, a little bit about, like, you know, now being an older basketball fan and sort of living with this knowledge of, like, man, these kids don't know, like, there's so many people out there who never saw Jordan,
right?
You know, and then bring that into their Michael Jordan is the, you know, or LeBron James is the greatest of all time take,
right?
You know what I mean? Where you and I can sit there and sort of go, okay, young fella, like, you just you don't know what you're talking about. But I sort of went like, oh, crap, like, these are the Bill Russell people when right. we were kids talking about Michael Jordan, right? And maybe we don't know what we're talking about. So,
man. That's
so
funny.
So, yeah, for them to sort of make that point, but to do it in a way that was really funny, just the, like, the Bill Russell beat 11, you know, beat the Lakers yeah. and racism was.
And racism, yeah.
pretty
yeah, it's yeah. funny, and you know, that skit is hilarious, but also, like, there are bars in here that are just as funny and also really thoughtful stuff, man. I've listened to this album a ton over the last week, and it's reminded me of how much I love this group.
Yeah, I will listen to this again. So
And in the spirit of recommending past greatness, you really should listen to The Minstrel Show. I'm quite confident you'll like it.
When did it come out? Just you know, not that it's going to change my thought on this. I'm just curious.
It's been 12 years, maybe. I can check. But their last album was like 9 years ago, and let's see, 2005. So yeah, 14 years.
Yeah, if you Wikipedia Minstrel Show, it goes to actual minstrel shows, which is.
Yeah,
probably not a page you want to stay on real long.
You got to go The Minstrel Show if you want the album.
There was a link, thank God. all right, yeah, almost coming up on the anniversary of Minstrel Show.
Yeah.
Okay. That's probably a good segue, actually, into the new Dave Chappelle comedy special. You know, obviously it's not exactly a minstrel show, but that's certainly territory Dave has mined from time to time. I'm going to guess a thing that Dave has been accused of at some point in time, although
really?
I wouldn't say
I guess.
Fairly necessarily. Although, look, I mean, I think that, you know, like the R. Kelly doc, I wouldn't say that it's saying it's a minstrel show, but it does sort of, you know, set him up. In a way that's like, look, here's this guy, like, making fun and money off of this horrible thing that's, you know, the exploitation of black women. I do sort of think that that doc makes that point. Anyway, Dave Chappelle's back with the new special, and, you know, he really seems to be in on the comedians should get to joke about whatever the fuck they want corner. You know what I mean? I'd say, if anything, that's sort of the main thrust of this. Would you agree?
Yes, he is determined to make the point that as a comedian, I must push boundaries.
Yes. And like, hey, man, it's okay.
Must
we're just telling jokes here on top of that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but I think that, I mean, he knows better than that, you know? So I think that part is a little bit facetious.
I hope so. I don't know. I mean, look, I have a lot of experience with Dave Chappelle performances in my life. I would say we're in the dozens now if you're counting stand up on television and stand up in person.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, it's four Netflix specials now, five Netflix specials,
something like that.
Yeah, just you
and
know,
a couple before that.
Yeah,
we've seen a lot.
So there's a lot out there, you know, and yeah, I mean, he did a few on television before that. And, you know, I've seen him in person a ton of times. And there is a, I would say certainly more than any other great comedian, or at least of this era. I think there is a variance in the Dave Chappelle stand-up experience, depending on what kind of show he's doing and that night and whatever.
I think it's mostly depending on his mood.
Yeah.
Really.
And so, like, I don't want to overreact to this show, but I would say that this special for me was way on the low end of that variance. I just didn't think it was very funny at the end of the day. And him, you know, sort of whining about how hard it is to be famous and entertain people is just sort of it felt like the least compelling angle.
Yeah, I think so. Far be it from me to say anything about where Dave Chappelle's head is at, but I think he seems to have missed a pretty important part of his own life for the last decade, which is you can just disappear and no one will super care. And it might feel like people care because people still stop him on the street. I'm sure that happens to him. But look, we were happy when Dave Chappelle came back and did specials after not for a long time. But over that long time, I don't remember a lot of clamoring and complaining for Dave Chappelle's specials. Do you?
I actually do remember there was a lot of like, where's Dave Chappelle? I would say a lot, but there was a substantial amount of like, hey, it would be cool. But, you know.
But no one is like, we need this for the culture right now. I just don't think that's happening. And so this felt to me like if you don't have a finely tuned Dave Chappelle level stand-up show, why are we here? And I, based on what you said, I actually think I probably thought it was funnier than you, and I don't regret watching it, and I more or less enjoyed myself.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I regret watching it, but this is the preeminent comedian of our generation.
He's up there, but clearly, I think in this special, there are some things he just wanted to say that aren't even really jokes.
Yeah, and he does that sometimes, but I thought those things were less insightful than
they were not. Usually when he does that, it's sort of mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And from the very beginning, God, now I'm blanking on exactly what it was, but he set up this construction around, was it the Arquette, was it, no, it was before. It was Michael Jackson, right?
Yeah, there was an R. Kelly and a Michael Jackson. So,
but it was Michael Jackson first.
Yes, Michael Jackson first.
He constructed this thing, this sort of thought experiment, where the point seemed to be, I know I don't really have a leg to stand on, but I don't believe Michael Jackson's accusers. And with Anthony Bourdain. That's what it was. He did the Anthony Bourdain thing at the very beginning about killing yourself. And the point seemed to be, hey, man, you could have the best life imaginable and still be miserable.
Yeah.
And then use that to transition to Michael Jackson, and none of it was super funny, nor was it particularly insightful.
No.
Like, yeah,
although
he did kind of,
after that Anthony Bourdain bit, he did go into the bit about his friend who had a terrible setback in life and never thought about killing himself. Yeah.
That was shockingly mean, but funny. That was funny. But that's the sort of bit that I feel like usually when Dave Chappelle does that kind of thing, if it's not hilarious, it's kind of mind blowing. And that was neither.
Yep.
Is that fair?
Yeah. No, I would agree with that 100%. Look, I think his timing and delivery are like still world class.
Impeccable.
You know, and like the you know, even doing that, like, I don't believe those kids bit, and the way that that set up for him to, when he started talking about R. Kelly, to be like, yeah, you know what, I kind of believe R. Kelly did it, like, that,
right.
That made that extra funny. But, or like, the way that when he's talking about R. Kelly and he's like, the, you know, the one thing I want to stress, and he's kind of just real serious, and all of a sudden he just goes, I don't know a thing about the man, you know what I mean, like, yeah. He kind of does that 0 to 100, you know, in that style, and you know, sometimes like the faces that he'll make as he does it are just like, just crushes it. And
he's still one of the funniest people alive. There's,
you know, that
no
dude's still in there, and it's like, I, you know, when the next special comes out, I will be stoked for it. Like, this doesn't really change the way I feel about Chappelle, but I just felt like this was way short on laughs. And honestly, I would have lived with that if I felt like it was long on insight.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm willing to give him a certain amount of berth. I feel very much, and I think we've talked about this on the show, like, I very much believe those Michael Jackson accusers, and I am quite bothered by that, the fact that many people in the culture have chosen not to. I think mostly because they just can't reconcile their love of Michael's music with the child diddling. Mm-hmm. But I don't mind hearing him joke about that. I can still go, okay, you have a certain amount of permission with me to be naughty, you know what I mean, and to really to try to push the buttons. I'm giving you some of the berth that I gave Louis C.K., you know what I mean? But Louis C.K. messed all that up, you know? And, you know, and I'm a little concerned about you because you're, you know, a little later on, you're telling jokes about Louis C.K., you know, the point of which was like, what's the big deal? He masturbated in front of people. And that were, I think, actually some of his better jokes, like his impression of a guy who just finished up masturbating on his own stomach is pretty funny. But again, the insight of like, hey, this is not a big deal is not super insightful or I feel like understanding, which is, you know, tends to be his bit, you know. So,
well, and right. And I hesitate to call it problematic because I think you should be able to push boundaries. But also, like, the bit about a dude coming on his stomach is funny. The way he uses that bit is really not funny.
Agreed.
And not just not good. And this is comedy. He may not feel exactly the way he is saying in those jokes. It may just be the construction of the joke, but it feels like he's trying to make a real point. And if he is, it's a real point that should not be made.
Yeah. And look, the whole thing about, like, you know, like, I get the, from the comic perspective, and I get the idea of, like, you know, a comedian joking about smashing a dollhouse on someone's head. Like, clearly they don't actually mean that, and we shouldn't take that literally. But that's not an interesting observation. You know what I mean? Like, it's true, but it's not that interesting.
No, but I will say I found the Kevin Hart stuff more palatable from a philosophical what's the point you're making here standpoint.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I think, like, he has a point with the Kevin Hart stuff. Yeah, Kevin Hart probably had, you know, homophobic views that needed to evolve, but I think they have. And also, that was clearly a joke.
Yeah, agreed.
A bad joke, perhaps, but clearly a joke, as Dave Chappelle pointed out. And especially, it's not like Kevin Hart's canceled. Kevin Hart is as successful as ever. The Oscars just decided to make a big deal about old tweets. Like, that is stupid.
I agree. Look, and I am, if I can make a wide-ranging semi-rant point here, I do agree on that basis that I think it's terrible that we now do this thing that we go back with stuff people said 10, 15 years ago or whatever, X amount of time ago, whether it was when they were teenagers or, you know, a political position or some vote somebody took 10 years ago or this thing that somebody said, and, you know, we want to bring it back and then have a new debate about it. And my feeling is like, as a society, like, do we not want people to grow? Like, isn't that the whole point? Like, yeah. If somebody said something homophobic 10 years ago and now they don't feel that way, like, that's a good sign. Like, that's what we want from everybody, right? So, like,
it's literally what we're trying to
do. So why on earth would we excoriate people for feeling a way years ago that they didn't now? Like, the whole point is to learn and grow and become better people. And I feel like we're actively discouraging people from getting better by digging up stuff that they used to do or ways that they used to feel and then trying to hold it against them now. And it's one of the worst things we do, like, sort of as a people, I feel like. So
one thing societally that we have for sure not figured out is the right way to, what's the best way to put, where the line is between helpful suggestions of self-improvement and unhelpful shaming.
Agreed.
We don't know where that line is.
And there's also this sort of middle concern trolling placing, you know, thing where people, you're kind of trying to do both at the same time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm just trying to help you, but I'm also shaming you, you know?
Yeah, and some of that I think is well intended, but it's not working very well, clearly.
Yeah.
And now we probably have to take a hard right turn to stay inside the toy department.
Agreed. I do feel like this is like this. That's sort of the point of this whole special. Is Chappelle is like, you know, in the toy department, but trying to drag you over to the other departments, which I don't necessarily mind. I just wish it was a little bit more successful and funny. You know,
it feels like he could have honed that bit, that special, for another 2 months and delivered something better.
Yep. Agreed. Yeah. And I could have gone for some more Atlanta jokes. He dropped a couple in there.
Yeah, I didn't get all of them. But he definitely referenced it a couple times.
Yeah. The Tabernacle, man, that place is great. Anyway, let's talk about something that, that I enjoyed a lot, which is, on Becoming a God in Central Florida. I didn't have a ton of expectation. I'd seen a couple of Showtime trailers coming into this. I found this to be, I think the idea of, you know, sort of multi-level marketing scams, you know, and sort of the cultiness of it, I feel like this is really fertile, relatively unexplored ground, you know.
Agreed.
And I think it's really interesting to see a show that's sort of actively about poverty and the American dream and striving and scamming people and then setting it in Florida, which is an ideal breeding ground for that sort of thing, but also, you know, kind of its own craziness is great. And then, you know, Kirsten Dunst, late period Kirsten Dunst,
man,
is just, she's really been crushing it, you know.
Early period Kirsten Dunst is one of the best child actress performances of all time. So don't shade any part of her career.
Yeah, I sort of feel like her early career was a little bit more polarizing for people. My take on her early career is some great performances and some not great performances. And now I think she's just
ripping
doubles down the line every time. You know what I mean?
Sure, but she was that tiny vampire in Interview with a Vampire, and she was incredible.
Yeah. No, don't get me wrong. There's, like, you know, a lot of great early Kirsten Dunst.
But yeah, she's awesome in this. She's totally believable, and also, like, there's this Walter White-ishness to, like she's this character is going places.
Yeah, I really like that observation too. The Walter Whiteness. I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, like there's a very clear like desperation, sort of that is the, you know, becomes sort of the mother of invention sort of for her. You know, but there's also this sort of like toughness and the like, I, you know, yeah, I'm I'm knocked on my ass right now, but I'm going to be doing something about this character that I like. I also find sort of the, there's a real wacky fantastical side of this show that I think that they, that is a really nice element. Like, you know, like when she's doing the, beauty contests talent show portion, you know, like, did you expect her to come out with like that talent?
Oh my God, no.
And it's
the most ridiculous, incredible talent.
Yeah. And it's so great to watch. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Yeah. Like, she's, I'm really intrigued by this show. You know, I don't know how much we're going to see Skarsgård from now on. Spoiler alert, it doesn't seem like a lot.
Yeah.
But I thought his performance in the first couple episodes is really great, too.
Yeah, other than the accent, which is hard.
yeah, you're right. He doesn't do the accent great.
No, well, you just hear that, like, wherever, whatever it is, Swedish, like, edge to whenever he talks.
Yeah.
Even in Big Little Lies, but he was sort of indeterminate origin there, so it didn't seem too crazy there.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, look, we watched him play a Louisiana resident for
well, but he was a Norwegian vampire. So he has never really, his accent has never fit better than True Blood, but you know, I agree that from in terms of selling the character and the sort of desperate sucker, he was great.
Yeah, I got to say, I went back and now I'm looking at Kirsten's IMDb page, and you're right, her early batting average may be higher than I'm giving credit for.
Yeah, man. I mean, she became a bit of a caricature in the Spider-Man movies, but other than that, it's a pretty good IMDb.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I think also she made some really interesting choices over the years.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah.
In terms of roles, and there's a dip somewhere in the middle, but she's back now, baby.
And I mean, don't forget Fargo. That was just a few years
ago.
Oh,
I am.
She was
definitely not forgetting Fargo. Epic.
She was amazing.
Yeah. I can't wait to sort of see what happens as they, because it seems like, at least from the trailers, that they're gonna obviously get more and more into the founders. You know, and whatever the hidden thing sort of is behind that. And I'm really, as she heads up the ladder,
yes.
I'm interested in that. I think bringing in this other founders dude from the other territory and like the scenes with those two guys sort of like, you know, having their pissing contest like in the diner.
Yes.
Those are amazing as well. Like, I really love the way that they kind of like, you know, square off against each other. Yeah, I'm in on this show. I think it's exciting, and I'm a little surprised that more people are not talking about it at this point. I know
me
it just
too.
Started.
I think this has a chance to be a big deal for Showtime, and also just quickly, in addition to Kirsten Dunst and Skarsgård, two actors who I love, who are, you know, longtime character actors, Ted Levine and Mel Rodriguez, are both awesome in this. Ted Levine is the sort of founder,
right?
OB, and just, it's sort of the perfect caricature for him to play. And Mel Rodriguez is the friend.
Oh, Ernie, from the, yeah.
From the store, and he's excellent, man.
He is. You know, the show I think really plays off of Dunst's looks. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In a really smart way, and kind of the, you know, now she's a little bit more middle-aged and faded, but you can see the, you know, the beauty queen in her.
This is definitely, she has the, like, physicality and like, plays the emotion of, like, former beauty queen who's come on tough times really well.
Yep. And everyone sort of in the story reacts to her that way, which I think is...
Yes, right. Everyone is still sees her as, like, the prom queen, but it's been a while.
Yeah, yeah, and there's a little bit of, oh, look at you now, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm all in on this show. excited about it. And
yeah, and I don't know if it's going to be two episodes a week, but first two episodes dropped, and yeah, both really good and just unexpected stuff, man. It's somewhat insane, but it all feels true to the characters, and like there are a lot of strings cast out in these first two episodes, and I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about The Letdown, which is on Netflix. This is a New Zealand show. Is that correct?
I think it's Australian.
I thought it was Australian at first, but then I kind of just, I don't know, from context, sort of picked up New Zealand.
I think they say something about New Zealand at one point, but I got the impression that it's somebody else. Like, I don't know. Whatever. But
regardless, it's one of those two. They love it when you get them mixed up, too. This was a homework assignment from the wifey, right?
Yes.
Did you guys watch this together?
Somewhat, yes. And although she had seen it, so she was kind of puttering around doing things.
Gotcha. So what was the consensus in the Kolsky household?
Well, I think it's hilarious. But I also think I'm fascinated to know if you laughed as much as I did, because I don't know how much of it is only funny because I'm kind of living it.
Yeah. My answer to that would be all of it.
this wasn't funny at all.
The word I would use to describe this is unfunny. I think this show is often trying to be a comedy and is not very funny. That's why I was like, is this a dark comedy? Is this a dramedy? Like, what is this show trying to do?
This is our answer. This is a show for new parents.
Yeah. And I was sort of actively watching it and going like, are these things like really landing with those guys because they have a baby and they know.
How many did you watch?
I watched three of them.
That's enough. I was intimately aware that it might just be for me as I watched it, but I honestly I don't remember what life was like 4 months ago, so I couldn't decide if I would have laughed without the recent experiences of not identical, but very much enough to understand what she was going through.
Yeah,
and what he's going through. The whole thing is just, if you have had a baby recently, you will unquestionably identify with these characters.
I don't think I laughed once. I was wondering, like, does it land for you as a drama as well, or is it pretty much all comedy?
I mean, maybe there is some drama, but, you know, it's definitely a comedy.
Yeah. Okay. It
is a comedy with some heart and some dramatic moments is how I would describe it. But like, again, just as someone who's dealt with a lot of this stuff or similar stuff in the recent past, I don't want to say a home run, but like a solid B+ of like, oh yeah, I get it. And that is funny.
Yeah. I mean, you know, look, the obvious thing for me to say is it's aptly named. But, you know, I think the answer
it's
is
like it's like Mamma Mia 2. If you pronounce it in the right tone, it's also a review of the film. Mamma Mia 2. Here we go again.
It sounds like this may be a situational thing. Like if you're at this place in your life, then it's recommend. And if you're not, stay away.
I wish we had like a sample audience to test it on, because based on our react, like it was not a brand of humor that I thought you wouldn't enjoy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like literally, as I watched it, I was thinking like, man, either this is for people with young kids or Derek's going to love it.
Yep. All right. Well, it's the former. I'm actually a little bit curious. We're not going to sign this for homework, I don't think, but Working Moms has a new season premiering, right? We didn't like that when we watched it before. I'm curious now that, you know, you're on the parent side, if that would be any different for you. It's sort of an interesting extension of this theory.
Maybe, but I got to tell you, I don't have a lot of hope. Yeah. It wasn't so much the subject matter that I didn't like.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I don't know. You know, maybe I'll just have a kid and we'll then we can come back and compare.
Yeah, hustle up.
Okay. all right. Should we get to homework?
I suppose so. We really smashed through this one.
Yeah, it's a nice tight one. It's good. I actually have a ton of crap to do today. So,
that's work to do.
Man. I don't know, stupid work. It's state fair time here in Minnesota. I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast before, but the state fair here is like a huge effing deal. So,
I don't know that we have, but I am not surprised by that.
It is. It's live broadcast every day for the radio station, so it tends to sort of take over for a series of 10 days. And then it's also the sign that summer's ending, right? Uh-huh. You come back and it's Labor Day, and the kids are in school, and football's starting, and it's going to be cold in a week. So
cold.
Yeah. So there's always a little bit of like seasonal depression that comes along with it.
Naturally. Yeah.
Good times. Yay. The Great Minnesota Get Together.
Well, that's probably why it's such a big deal, is people are like, celebration, we're going to be inside for 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So homework, the challenge starts tonight. We've talked some about this already. Yeah.
Yes.
I think we're just full on. We just can't wait. So, so we'll be watching that and discussing next week.
I feel like I should point out now that the dramatic news we discovered right before we started during our pre-production meeting, one of the likely participants lost vision in an eye, and I don't know if they already taped it, so he's going to be on it with two eyes, or if they're about to start taping it, which doesn't make sense because the premiere is tonight. So I don't know, man. The whole thing, I feel like this dude, we might be watching his last two-eye experience.
Yeah. I would guess only having one eye won't stop him from competing if in future challenges, if that's the way it goes. By the way,
tend to agree.
Do you want to mention how he lost his eye?
Yeah, so his name is Theo. He's a British guy who was on the last season, and champagne cork accident. Be careful with your champagne corks, folks. Point them away from the body.
Oh, it's the most challenging injury ever.
It really is. It's so great.
I don't mean to be like, you know, laughing at man losing his eye, but it is what it is.
But he did it with a champagne cork, so how can you not?
Yeah. This Brits versus USA thing is a fantastic idea. Yes. I feel like I should know if Theo's going to be on the show because I did watch a random 5-minute like challenge promotional special that MTV did, and my DVR just picked up because it tapes all challenges things. but I've already forgotten, so sorry.
I feel like his name was there on the list that we looked at a couple weeks ago, so fingers crossed.
I did remember it was, I mean, you know, like your favorite Brits all seem to be pretty much in it, so I would assume Theo's in it, but you know, Bear's back and Joss is back, and you know, any of those ones that you'd want from the show the last couple of years, they did an all-star team, and I'm assuming they're going to introduce a few new Brits, which will be great as well. So and the USA side looks pretty stacked too, so it should
the
be
show
fun. Yeah,
it's gonna be great.
All right, so Tool's dropping a new record, their first one in, I believe, 13 years.
Crazy.
That is pretty crazy. It's actually kind of already leaked online, you know, if you're enterprising.
I like to wait.
But I, you know, at this point, that's the thing. I don't get why people leak records anymore. Like, whatever, man. It's going to be everywhere for free in 5 days. So, like,
right.
You know, and now at this point, 2 days. So we can all listen to it then. It's okay.
I'm excited to do so.
That's coming out. We will we'll be talking about that. I hear all the songs are 10 minutes plus.
I'm into it.
So dig in. It's going to be proggy as fuck. Speaking of proggy as fuck, I feel like the Dark Crystal kind of fits into that and that sort of weird.
Does it?
Yeah.
Is that? Can you use proggy to describe a cartoon? Well, is that chill?
It's more puppets, I would say, which I feel like is pretty proggy. I don't know. I feel like this is a thing.
Is it puppets now still?
I think it's still puppets. You know what? I didn't look
because I saw the preview and it did not look super puppety.
It didn't look real. All right. Well, the original Dark Crystal is puppets, so I'm
going to. Of course, it still says Jim Henson's Dark Crystal.
It's just hard for me to imagine that they would make a Dark Crystal that wasn't puppets, but I guess they could just digitally do it now, huh?
No, I mean, maybe they're just super elaborate puppets.
Yeah, I don't know. What I do know is that Lena Headey, Awkwafina, Sigourney Weaver, and Taron Egerton had the voice cast of this Netflix series.
Yeah. It flies on the backs of jaw-dropping creatures, dives into glowing caves, stages fearsome battles, and all with practical sets, puppets, and minimal CGI.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
I'm
it
for
looked
that.
Incredible then in the preview.
I'm for that. Well, you know, puppet technology is still advancing while they're doing all this.
Apparently. Who knew? I'm kind of into this now, and as I told you in our pre-production meeting, I have never seen The Dark Crystal, so I might... Does Netflix have the film?
That's a great question.
They ought to.
I really feel like they should at this point. And, you know, certainly once they sign the other thing, you'd think that you'd get the other thing and show it, right? So people would be into it. It's been
So I just signed on to Netflix, and we have not discussed this, but there is newly a Travis Scott movie?
Movie?
Concert film?
Concert film.
That, I don't know, maybe we should check that out.
Yeah, okay, sure. You know, I still haven't watched the Beyonce concert film.
Please don't tell the Beehive,
because, I don't need that trouble.
Yeah, I don't think I've watched the doc, but I did watch the Coachella set on the internet, so I don't know if that, I don't know what that does for me.
Yeah, I don't know. Alright, so, sorry, so are we doing Travis Scott? We can throw that in there.
Sure, let's add it to the pile. I think we got time.
Yeah, and then we'll also be talking football.
Because
football will be getting ready to start. Next pod will come the day before game number one.
And I can confirm Netflix has the original Dark Crystal, so I think I'll watch that to prepare myself.
That's exciting. A little vintage Bowie performance there in the
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, he was in Labyrinth, wasn't he? I think I take that back. I'm not sure he was in Dark Crystal.
Oh, well, I don't know. I know he is in Labyrinth. I don't know if he's in Dark Crystal because, as I said, I've never seen it.
Let's see
details. He's not in the cast.
Yeah, that's
the cast is all puppet actors.
Right. No.
Frank
no
Oz.
My bad.
Henson himself does some puppeteering here.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, this is vintage Henson. Yeah.
I'm excited.
Me too. I have not seen the original since it was in the theater, which was.
Well, maybe you should run it back too, buddy.
1982. I was seven.
I was too young at that point. Yeah. I was 1 year old.
So, I might run it back as well. We shall see, depending on how much time I have this week. Because, like I said, it's the fair. We're going to be busy. All right. I think that pretty much closes it out for this one, right?
Okay. Bye.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard. The eggs are cooling. And the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor. Have yourself a tremendous evening.